Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
So many people in this world are striving to recover from addictions, from past abusive situations, and even from the consequences of bad decisions. Does this describe you or someone that you love? Next on Daily in the Word, we're going to study with Dr. Paul Chappell, Recovery with God. Stay with us. So many people in our world are in the process of recovery. So many of us have been hurt. So many of us have made bad decisions that have led to difficult and painful, long-lasting consequences. So many of us have faced abusive situations where somebody in our past did something or even continually did something that dramatically impacted our lives. And yet others are struggling with substance abuse, like alcohol or drugs. Well, maybe someone you know is dealing with one of these things. Whatever the need, recovery, authentic, lasting, life-changing recovery from the inside out, truly does begin with God. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the preaching, the teaching, the encouragement of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our series presently is entitled Recovery with God. This is an entire series of messages that help take a life from the very beginning of life with God through a process of restoration and growth and true, lasting, authentic life change. I'll tell you in a moment how you can download this entire series and maybe give it to a friend, or you can listen to recent broadcasts if you're coming into the middle of the program. We would love for this series to touch your life in a very special way. Before we join today's message, I want to invite you to visit dailyintheword.org. You can subscribe to this program via a podcast. You can listen to recent programs or download them and listen to them later. You could pass it along to a friend. There are many other resources on the website that will encourage you in your Christian life and in your walk with the Lord. And there's also a way that you can be a part of the ministry of Daily in the Word. Would you prayerfully consider a monthly contribution to help us cover the costs of airtime and supporting this ministry? Your investment is an investment into the Word of God going into the hearts and lives of people all across the country and even in many foreign countries. Take a moment and visit Daily in the Word and consider joining us in the effort of teaching and preaching the Word of God. And now it's the time we've been waiting for. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 11. We start today with a message entitled, Beginning Again. I love where this series begins. Here's Paul Chappell.
The Lord Jesus walks by with His captors, and Peter's eyes meet the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I submit to you that if there was ever a low point in Peter's life, it was right there. Because Peter realized he was an utter failure apart from the power of God. Peter realized he had denied his Messiah. And I believe there are many people here this morning who regret that we have not been more faithful to our Savior. Many this morning who realize that if Jesus Christ truly is the Son of God, and if Jesus Christ truly shed His blood for me, and if Jesus Christ loved me that much, then really I'm not living for Him the way that I should. And whether you call it guilt or conviction or somewhere in between, from time to time our heart is touched with that fact. And Peter was in the depths of despair over it, running from God. He was running from the realization of his sin. Secondly, he was running from his failure. He was running from his failure. Now notice what it says, if you would, in John 21 and verse 1. And I want you to see how Peter is running. After these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. On this wise showed He Himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered the ship and immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Here we see in the word of God, Peter is still running. And Peter says, I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to escape reality. I'm going to get away from this scene here and all of these memories. And I'm just going to go out and fish for a while. And he's still running from his failure rather than dealing with the matters at hand, rather than coming to a conclusion regarding his Christ. We see that he is running from the difficulty of his life. But notice, thirdly, his recovery from ruin. How did Peter recover? How could someone who had denied the Lord, how could someone who seemed to be such a failure really recover and begin again? How is that possible? Would you notice what the Bible says in verse 4, John 21, 4? But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. You know, I find great comfort in that verse. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. I want to remind you of something this morning. If Jesus Christ would go after Peter, if Jesus Christ would come to find Peter, who had denied him three times, who had cursed and said, I don't know this Christ, I don't believe in this Christ, if Jesus would come after that man, he'll come after you, my friend. He still loves you this morning. No matter how many times you feel you have failed, no matter how guilty you may feel about a particular situation, Jesus Christ loves you this morning. And when he died on that cross, he didn't die just for one or two sins, but he died for all of the sins of this world. He knew every sin before you had ever committed, and yet he loved you. And the Bible says that he bore in his body my sin and your sin, and he loves you today, and he comes for you. And so in verse number 4, Jesus is standing on the shore, and imagine Peter lonely and dejected and guilty and feeling as though life was come to an end, and he's out in this boat fishing all night and he didn't catch one thing. My friend, I've had times when I was feeling perfectly right with God and perfectly spiritual, and going out fishing and not catching anything is miserable all by itself. But feeling guilty and terrible and catching nothing, why, that's especially a bad day. And Peter had that kind of a day, and yet he looks out with all of the loneliness in soul, and there's a lone figure on the seashore looking to him. And that lone figure is the Son of God coming to help him recover in the faith. Notice the Bible says in verse number 12, after they come to the shore and after they had caught much in the way of fish, it says, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of his disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. My friend, I want to tell you this morning that if you'll come back to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you would recognize that his hand is out to you, calling out to you with forgiveness and offering to you recovery from sin and failure, if you'll come to him, he's not waiting to judge you. He's not waiting to say to you, now that I've got you back here, you dirty, rotten so-and-so. No, not at all. He's saying this morning, come and dine. Here's the bread. Here's the fish. Let's fellowship together. Like the Father welcoming the prodigal, Jesus welcomes us. And that's why Peter could write later on in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If there was an apostle who understood mercy, it was Peter, because Peter, who at one time was running filled with guilt, was now restored and serving God wonderfully. Well, we see this morning Mary with her heart of grief. We see her grieving, but we see Jesus coming to her and offering her help. We see Peter, he's running with a heart of guilt, but we see Jesus standing on the shore saying, Peter, can I help you? I want you to see a third person this morning, and his name is Thomas. And Thomas was doubting. Thomas reminds me of a lot of American Christians today. Just doubting, not total atheist or anything, not necessarily even agnostic, but just kind of doubting God. Some people doubt God because they've never taken time to study the Scriptures to really know him. Some people doubt God because they've of course, never accepted Christ as their Savior. Some people doubt God for other reasons. I think about the fact that many people today just really don't understand God from the Scriptures. And all they know about God is what they heard at a college, at some comparative religions course, or what someone told them once about God, or all they know about God is what some hypocrite said to them once. And so they don't put a lot of stock in this God stuff. Some people never really take the time to discover Him personally through the Scriptures. I heard about a school teacher recently in a public school that was brave enough to tell the children, tomorrow for show and tell, I want you to bring something from your religion. And I want you to tell us just a little bit about your religion. And so, sure enough, the kids came in and they all lined up. And the first one came up and he stood in front of the class. And he stood there and he said, my name is Benjamin and I am Jewish and this is the Star of David. And the teacher said, thank you, Benjamin. That was very good. Next student came up. Her name was Mary. She said, my name is Mary, and I am Catholic, and this is a crucifix. And the teacher said, very good, Mary. Thank you very much. And then the third child came up, and he said, my name is Tommy, and I am a Baptist, and this is a casserole. Now, that's about how grounded many people get into the Word of God. And it's no wonder that we go a little while and then we don't make it, or we begin to doubt or question or switch faiths multiple times. Why? Because we never get into the Word of God to get to know Him. And so sometimes Satan comes and creates doubts in our minds and discouragements in our hearts. Many people doubt God because of a trial in their life. Some people doubt God because they've had a bad relationship with a church somewhere. Now, I want you to notice this morning, as we look at Thomas, the reasoning of doubt. The reasoning of doubt. What does the Bible say in verse number 25? John 20, 25. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see his hands and the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. That's the reasoning of doubt. I will not believe until I see this and this and this and this. I'm just not going to believe. That's the reasoning of Thomas. Now, many times folks get that way. I have to see this, know this, and so forth before I'll believe anything. That reminds me of the story of some church members that had a missionary family into their house for lunch. And this church family was hosting the missionary family, and they had some children and so forth. And as it was time for lunch, the mother of the missionary children said, all right, kids, I want you to go wash your hands now, get ready for lunch. And when she said that, the youngest boy scowled. And he looked at his friends and he said, germs in Jesus, germs in Jesus. That's all I ever hear, and I've never seen either of them. And that's how some people are. You know, they're just not sure that certain things exist until they have seen them personally, until they have investigated it in their own way. But you see, Thomas was reasoning that way. He said, I'm not going to believe that Jesus is resurrected until I see Him, and until that time, I will believe not. But notice not only the reasoning of doubt, notice the recovery of doubt. How did Thomas get over his hang-ups about this matter? How can people today come to this matter of truth and understanding of the foundation of Jesus Christ? Notice what it says, please, in verse number 28. Of John chapter 20, verse number 27 rather. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Now, the recovery of faith took place, first of all, when Thomas heard the Word of God. Jesus said, Thomas, put your hands into my hands. Put your hand into my side. And don't do it with doubt. Do it with faith, believing. You know, the Bible says in Romans 10 and verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And my friend, you can recover from the guilt of the past. You can recover from the grief of the present. You can recover from the doubt of the present by listening to the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. My words do not matter, and your words do not matter in the sense of salvation, but the words of Christ matter, and He gives us His Word that we might understand the way of salvation. And so Thomas heard the Word of God. But then when he heard the Word of God, he was able to profess his faith in Jesus Christ. Now that's the exact order of God. First we hear the Word, and that generates faith within our heart in order that we might profess our faith in Jesus Christ. And listen to what Thomas says. It was very simple, but it was very profound. He says, "My Lord and my God." Now this was not profanity or slang speech. When he said, "My Lord and my God," he was professing his faith in Christ and in the deity of Christ. You will notice here one of the great proofs of the fact that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. He did not say, "Thomas, don't call me God. I'm not really God." He did not say, "Thomas, don't ascribe the title of God to me." He received that title because he is God in the flesh. Many various religious groups today, even some celebrating Easter, deny this doctrinal truth that Jesus is God. But the Bible is clear about the matter. He is Lord and He is God. He is the Lord of salvation. For Jesus said to Thomas in John chapter 14 and verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except by me." He is the Lord of salvation. This church cannot save you. This church cannot forgive you. The baptistry water cannot cleanse your sin. Jesus and Jesus alone can provide salvation. He is the Lord of salvation. And He is not only the Lord of salvation, but He is God in the flesh. Colossians 2 and verse 9, "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." The Bible says in John 10 and verse 30, Jesus spoke, "I and my Father are one." Jesus said before Abraham was, "I am." I say to you this morning, the reason we celebrate this wonderful time called Easter, the reason it is so profound, is because this was the God-man, Jesus Christ, who literally died and shed perfect and innocent and heavenly blood, and then literally rose again on the third day to prove that He is God in the flesh. Now someone might say, "Well, why would we come to church this morning on Easter Sunday morning and take a look at the lives of three people who lived over 2,000 years ago? What's the benefit of that?" And I show you this, and we're done. Notice, if you would, verse 31 of John 20. "But these are written," these verses, these truths, these incidents, "these are written that ye," that's you and that's me, "might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name." God said, "I told you about Mary, and I told you about Peter, and I told you about Thomas, and I told you about my resurrection, so that hearing these things, you might believe, and so that believing, you might have life through my name." God says, "I have preserved these truths for you so that you might hear them, so that you might put your faith in them, and so that you might have life through His name." And there is no life apart from the name of Jesus Christ. I heard about a man that visited his doctor recently, and as he visited his doctor, the doctor was somewhat of an intellectual person, and he said to this patient, he said, "You know, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus Christ, but I don't believe I'm saved, as you call it. I don't believe I'm born again, like you say." He said, "I don't feel God near to me like you say you do." And the doctor said, "What is wrong with me anyways?" He said, "Why is this?" And the patient said, "Well," he said, "sir, let me explain it to you this way." He said, "A week ago I came here to see you and I trusted that you were a skilled physician." And he said, "When I came here a week ago, I put myself into your hands to help me recover from my illness." He said, "In other words, doctor, I trusted you." And he said, "For a week now, I've been taking some mysterious stuff out of a bottle. I don't really even know what it is. I don't understand the contents of the bottle. I just trust you, you see." And he says, "Whenever a person turns to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, a person can come to Jesus. He may say, 'Lord, I don't understand all the mysteries of the Bible yet. I don't understand everything about Christianity yet, but Lord, I do know that I have a need. I am a sinner, and I do believe that you are the perfect Son of God, the Savior. And so, Lord, I trust you by faith to be my Savior. And when a man says that to the Lord, the Bible says, whoever will call upon the Lord will be saved. And it was not the faith then of that patient that saved him. It was the remedy that healed him, but in faith, he took the remedy. My friend, the remedy is the cross and the empty tomb of Jesus Christ. But by faith, we must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ today. And we must simply realize that for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, there may be some here this morning who've never known of that saving faith. The Bible says in Romans 4 and verse 25, for he was delivered for our offenses. He was raised up again for our justification. I want you to understand this morning, when Jesus Christ was nailed to that cross, when his blood came flowing down, he died on that cross for my sins and for your sins. He was delivered for our offenses, but he was raised up again for our justification. And when we call upon Christ and ask him to be our Savior, the Bible says that our sins, which have been now nailed to that cross, are completely forgiven, and we have reserved a home in heaven by faith in Jesus Christ. And if you've never made that reservation and you do not know personally this resurrected Savior, then what better day to begin again than today? A day of new beginnings, a day of new hope, the day that Jesus Christ died for your sin, for mine, is still alive at this very hour for those who would place their faith in him.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, presently delivering a series entitled Recovery Together with God. We're discovering how to truly, authentically recover, to heal from past abuse, from difficult decisions and the consequences that we're experiencing, or from addictions. Whatever your struggle, or whatever the struggle of someone you love, this series is a tremendous resource. You can find the entire series at dailyintheword.org. You can download it. You can pass it along to a friend. You can even subscribe to the podcast. I do hope you'll visit dailyintheword.org. You know, we love to hear from our listeners, and your investment, your partnership with us financially into this ministry helps us continue paying for airtime on this station and on stations all over the country. We thank the Lord for the privilege of teaching and preaching the Word of God in your life. Would you prayerfully consider partnering with us? Pastor Chappell has just written a new book. It is a powerful book and a tremendous companion to our present series. It's entitled Living Beyond Your Capacity, Discovering the Power of the Holy Spirit-Filled Life, a life that is empowered and directed by the Holy Spirit of God. Living Beyond Your Capacity is a 200-page paperback book, brand new, right off the press. We've just had it a couple of months. We've been excited to place it into your hands, and we believe it will be life-changing. And we would like to send it to you this month for a gift of any amount to Daily in the Word. If you'll call us, or if you'll go on the website, dailyintheword.org, and click on the Donate tab, we would like to send you this book, Living Beyond Your Capacity, as our gift for your gift of any amount to this ministry. Again, you can do this at dailyintheword.org, or you can call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. 1-800-201-7748. This book will change your life, or change the life of the person you give it to, I promise. Living Beyond Your Capacity will be a read that you'll never forget. So call us or visit the website and be a part of this ministry, and let us send you Living Beyond Your Capacity. Before we wrap up our program today, here's a word from Pastor Chappell.
One of my favorite verses is 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Friend, if you do not know that you have eternal life, right now you can receive Christ as your Savior. Just admit to the Lord that you know you are a sinner, that you cannot save yourself, and that you believe He, as the Son of God, shed His blood for your sin and rose again for your justification. And then ask Him to come into your heart, forgive your sin,
and make you his child. When you do that by faith, the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," and you can know that you have everlasting life.
Well, thank you, Pastor and friend. Don't forget, we're heading to Alaska, August 2011, for our ministry cruise to Alaska. It is an adventure you will never forget. We would love to have you join us on this 7 days of exciting adventure and spiritual growth and tremendous Christian fellowship. You'll find more information at dailyintheword.org. Just click on the Alaska Cruise button. You'll see all of the information there. It is a week that you will never forget. I hope you'll join with us and go to Alaska in August of 2011. Again, for more information about our ministry or to talk to us personally, call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. And then finally, you can send a letter to Daily in the Word at 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.